Thank you, Kishani. Thank you. Welcome. Good to see you, everyone. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you. Wow. Also welcome back to those of us who have gone away for some holiday. I see some faces that have come back from long break. It's great to see you all. Welcome back, David and Kin Lee. David Lai, welcome back, David and Kin Lee, and your family, Kid, Andrea. And 2 weeks ago, we said, see you soon to David Lai's mother, who is with the Lord right now. So we thank God for eternal life. We thank God for our eternal hope in Christ. Every time we come to places when we say, see you for a little while, we remember the real hope that we have in Christ, that's when I feel rubber hits the road. All over again, we are reminded of how real this hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. Everything in life, so fleeting, so quickly pass away. But in a moment like this, we know it's not the end. There is a brighter horizon, new beginning. And some of us graduate ahead of others, and we don't know who graduates first. There is an order in which we come into this world. There is no set order in which we leave this world. But boy, every single day of our life, we can live with hope, great hope that Christ has brought to us. Amen. So, we stand with you, David, and we, you know, thank God for your family. And David's mom has been on this earth for 99 years. That's quite amazing. A century in Chinese accounting, so that's a great achievement. See him after the service, and let's encourage one another. You know, Bible says encourage one another with this hope that Christ has given us life eternal. Amen. So it's good to see you. Our prayers are with you. We stand with you. Yeah. Okay. I want to really thank you for GI. You know, last week, we spent quite some time in prayer together, because I feel, you know, last 1 week has been, I in my estimation, probably the most important week that we've had this century so far, last 17 years. I don't think there was a week that was more important than last week. And last Sunday, well, I had a red shirt on. Last Sunday, I'm back on blue. Red for alarm, wake up, emergency, prayer, because we had three events that were all rolled into space of a few days. Sunday, we were ahead of Paris, 10 hours, so we got together, we shared about what Israel is facing, and we turned this church into prayer meeting, and many of you have come and prayed. I still remember so vividly in my eyes how many of you were so moved by the Holy Spirit. You were weeping and praying. Some of you only said a few words, but you were weeping. Spirit of God was on you, and you were praying. We were all praying, and then we gathered together again on Tuesday night, and we prayed again. And, you know, God has heard our prayer. I believe, you know, the turnout of how the events have turned out is in the circumstance and the situation in which we suddenly found ourselves since 23rd of December, where UN, while in Christmas mood and in, you know, Jewish calendar, there was Hanukkah, preparation, and Sabbath, when nobody is kind of praying, but we are all in celebratory mood. Suddenly, UN had a stealth kind of a attack, and they passed Resolution 2334, which was very, very anti-Israel. We've gone through, we spent two whole Sundays on that, and we prayed, which meant very, 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 very indefensible for Israel. Their very threat, I mean, existence has been threatened. And then on Sunday in Paris, 70 nations gathered together, had a summit there was a real danger of them declaring state of Palestine on that meeting to come to that kind of a conclusion and to uphold Resolution 2334. Well, we prayed on Sunday, and some of us, I remember, without mentioning any name, prayed that confusion will come into that camp, because when we were praying, they were sleeping, and they would wake up and get together and have a meeting. And this is what Haaretz, Israeli newspaper, have described their meeting, and suddenly a confusion set into their meeting, and nobody could really agree with wording how to put, you know, their conclusion together. So confusion did come in. The meeting was in disarray. It was going back and forth, so that the initial reason for which they come together had not been really achieved. That is to really cut Israel off from their legitimate place in their land. So we praise God for those answered prayer. Somebody else suddenly prayed that, you know, I believe these prayers were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we were among many, but someone prayed that God will turn the cursing of Israel and turn it into blessing. That's what we pray for. It was very, naturally speaking, very difficult to believe. But what happened was that miracle took place in the meeting. UK, 3 weeks ago, was leading the charge to forge Resolution 2334 that, you know, says we don't recognize, you know, post-1967 line, and they were giving up all of that land, including Western Wall. UK was at the forefront 3 weeks before, 23rd of December. On Sunday, last Sunday, 7 days ago, it says, the paper, it says, in rare move, UK turned around, did 180 degree turn from 3 weeks before, and they refused to sign the summary paper that they have drawn up 3 weeks ago. Isn't that crazy? Let's give the Lord a thanks. What this is doing is this is signaling Sheep Nation to arise. That's another heartfelt plea that Sheep Nation will begin to emerge out of these 70 nations coming together. And some of the nations, not all, few in number, but they are now rising and taking a very clear stand. And they are not quiet, they're speaking out. I know someone wept and say, let Australia be the sheep nation. And what happened was that Australia, this is direct from Sydney Morning Herald, became one of the few countries other than Israel to condemn New Zealand-sponsored Resolution 2334, with Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull labeling it as one-sided and deeply unsettling. So I praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand again. I mean, we prayed in faith, as many have, but this is what prayer does. When we were in simply holiday mood, things just move. So against God's plan and God's people, when church worldwide wake up and pray, restraining hand of God is there to pull everything back, to soften everything. Well, what happened on Sunday? Well, in the end, 70 nations, more or less, UK rejected it and refused to sign on the dotted line. And I think nations like Australia and a few others spoke out their concern very strongly in that Sunday. However, the summary statement was endorsed. That summary statement endorsed UN Resolution 2334 in a broad sense. Yet, praise God, it was significantly modified by the end of the day. So the whole thing was softened to lessen the damage that was originally intended by 12 French ambassadors against Israel. So this is what we ask the Lord for, that there will be no, you know, forging of the nations at this time. And I believe the Lord has answered, and the blow has been modified and softened for the nations. We gathered together on Tuesday night. I think there were, you know, I think something like 12 or something like people, 13, gathered together again. We prayed, as many of you would have prayed at home and watched. Because after Sunday, it was unlikely that the UN will pass another resolution, because UK has a vetoing power. They refused to sign. That's the end of the story. And it wasn't unified as they initially wanted. We pray still in vigilance that nothing will, you know, suddenly happen against our friends in Israel, you know, God's firstborn son, and nothing happened. We also pray for very safe power transition in U.S. on the 20th election day, inauguration day, because so many riots have been planned, and there are many who wanted to see a great deal of destruction on the day. Did you hear that 250,000 protesters descended upon D.C. on the day? Many of them came by busloads, paid by certain very rich individuals who do not like what new administration stands. And it's incredible sight to see people coming. And have you seen people running around and destroying things? Very organized. They know what they are doing. And we prayed that this will happen safely. Interestingly, the general who is in charge of the safeguarding whole DC area plus National Guards have been stood down, or he stood down, 1201. And a lot of protesters were given free range, so to speak. We pray that for the safety of the people and so on, as all across America prayed. And thank God, to date, no loss of life on the day. No loss of our life, even now. So we thank God. We don't know how bad the damage is. A lot of protests have been organized around all across United States. United States going through a very difficult time, but these are the kind of power of prayers. When God's people begin to cry out, God releases his angels. He stretches out his hand. He withholds work of evil, and he blesses the people. And I'm just so thankful that Australia stood up and we identify with God's plan. So we need to continue to cry out, yeah, because of the many. Did you hear that Donald Trump have doubled down just before inauguration, saying, when I resume the office now, we need to pray that we will move embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So what he's trying to do is really distance his administration from Resolution 2334 and become friends of Israel and give them or recognize Jerusalem as their capital. So we need to really uphold, you know, this impacts the whole world. We need to pray and stand with them. Incidentally, I've also come across, just for your information, Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj has released some update, and that was, you know, I think it was a few years ago he saw the number 2017, and he was told by Jeremiah, well, he was told by divine revelation that 2017, another cycle, I guess, a war has been planned for Israel. So then, what does that mean? That means that we need to be aware of what is happening, and we need to stand in prayer. And this happened a few years ago, but UN resolution, all these things seems to indicate that that word has a great deal of weight and truth behind it. So let's pray. It doesn't mean that things will have to fall apart. It just means that we get to play a big role this year. This year is going to be very interesting. I want to just share with you. On Sunday night, I was praying, and I felt that just this picture kept coming back until I knew it was in Zechariah. I turned and then I read it. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read Isaiah 60. What does it all mean? Because end of last year, U.S. kind of really backstepped Israel. I was told that they would say, you know, don't worry about it, just get everybody relaxed. And suddenly, this resolution against Israel was passed. So it was like a big backstep, ambush. And then, before the second punch is thrown, Trump began to come in with a big swing and began to push all the way back to the other way, further than any other previous administration have pushed. And he's pushing for Israel, he's pushing for anti-abortion, he's pushing for, democracy, he's pushing for a whole range of things that I believe is in line with what God wants for Israel and the world. So it looks like the two opposing titanic forces are clashing this year. So I feel that's what's happening. And 70 nations have gathered, representation of the whole world, to basically condemn Israel, even though the blow has been weakened and softened. What does it mean? And I had this one, so I just want to share with you two things. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, and it says, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll, and he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I answered, 'I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse as the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house, and he shall consume it and with its timber and stones.'" There's a series of seven visions that Zechariah has in one line. Whole book of Zechariah, the center is Jerusalem. It's God's heart for Jerusalem. And a whole lot of events, predictions are in Zechariah. And when you study and read Zechariah, you get so much heart that God has for Israel. It's very, very important. That's Jerusalem, fire. Is that Isaiah chapter 4, prophecy in picture? Isaiah chapter 4 talks about how glory of God will surround Jerusalem. It will be a canopy of the glory of God, and God will be in the midst of them as the nations come against them to destroy them. Okay, so what is this? In what we've just read is that there is a degree. What is the curse that is written on the scroll? Scroll is the word of God. And there are many, but there is a specific end time trigger point, and that is, God says, what? Joel chapter 3, as well as Obadiah and many other places. Zechariah 12 talks about when the nations come against Israel to divide the land, to curse God's people, what you do shall be given back to you. When we curse Israel, what are we doing? We are triggering a curse that is written in the scroll. When we are trying to take away the land, and when we are lying to the word of God, we are saying yes, and then we are committing perjury. When the nations are committing perjury against the law of God that has been written, the curse is released. And when the nations come together to destroy Israel, what happens? Worldwide, the level of heaven's response is triggered. The nations are triggering curse upon themselves. So I'm not saying this is the only way to look at the passage. I feel that's something that the Lord has laid on my heart as I prayed on Sunday. And I feel that we are entering into a new era, but that's not the end. Because whenever the enemy comes in like the flood, God lifts up his banner so that his people will not drown, but rather God's people rally. In the ancient warfare, when the enemy comes in, and then there is a flag bearer, pole bearer, he will protect this pole with his life. I think there was some Mel Gibson movie, you know, he was kind of, you know, getting attacked, but trying to keep the pole, because, you know, when this flag falls, you lose. So he runs to higher ground, and then he puts the flag, and people see it. Enemy comes in and attack, and they see it. That's the rally point. They all gather together, and then they fight again, and they won, okay? So that's a movie, Patriot. I think it was a movie, Patriot, many years ago. That's what's happening. Enemies doing this stealth attack, and then God raises up his standard. God's people are gathering, and we are praying. God's people are waking up, and we are turning and changing things. Last 1 week has been, for me, as I was watching news, I mean, this week I watched a lot of news, more than most time. I was profoundly, somebody said, profoundly humbled this morning, just to see how our prayers impact and change, you know, nations. On Tuesday, I think somebody saw a vision. He said, I see the hand of the Lord coming down and protecting, you know, the inauguration, the Trump and the people, important people. And at that point, I really had faith. It'll go all right. It'll actually turn out all right, even though there will be, there will be riots and things. Let me read you Isaiah 60, first three verses. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Amen. So I believe that is what's coming to church. That's what's coming to you. I want to, today, I'm not going to say something big. I just want to really encourage us. Encourage us. Your life matters. We are salt and light in the world. I mean, we, you know, small number, we get it. And the Holy Spirit pray through some words, and we are the people who can impact the nations, course of the nations, and the things that have happened. How we can change history through prayer, shape history, destiny of the nations through prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Australia, I believe. So what's coming? Shaking is coming. 17 nations gathered together and in principle condemned Israel, basically. But there are nations and the people that are rising up and saying, no, no, we disagree. There are certain nations that are saying, we disagree. We stand with the word of God. God's people are saying, no, we disagree. It's going to be the greatest time. I believe it's going to be the finest hour for Australia is ahead of us. Amen. I believe that that speaking out, that positioning is so important. According to the word of God, we are aligning. Our nation is aligning because of your prayer. And therefore, I believe in the midst of shaking that is coming, the greatest hour, the finest hour, the best hour, the most blessed hour for our nation and the nation, many nations, are ahead of us now. I really believe that. Amen. I am very positive, yes. And Europe, I'm not so positive. I think we will see quite a lot of shaking. I've heard just after that, see, Italy and five or six nations were trying to sign, really force this thing through. And I'm not saying because of this, it's all that. But there's been a rumbling in Italy. Did you hear that? I think four.
Embassy, Vatican.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that Palestinian embassy just opened up in Vatican on the main street? Pope recognized state of Palestine and opened Palestinian embassy on Saturday. They only found out on Sunday night or Monday morning. So things are moving very fast. We need to be aware of what's happening. This Pope Francis has been really pushing for one world religion, unashamedly. So we are living, I believe, this year, we are entering into a new era of both shakings because of what 70 nations triggered in heaven. But we are also coming in a time of great blessing, of acceleration. Amen. I believe we're going to just experience promises of God that had been withheld for so long coming to pass quickly. Amen. I believe the heaven will open and we're going to walk in the Spirit far more than before. We need to expect these things. So I want to just encourage you. And with that, I'm going to read Luke chapter 18, first 8 verses. And then I just want to really encourage you. Your prayer matter. Amen. Amen. It says, very Jesus said this parable. It says then, Jesus spoke. Luke chapter 18, first 8 verses. He said, he spoke a parable to the people. Luke chapter 17, 18, this is all about end time. Jesus teaching on the end time. And he says that man always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she will weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Let's read the last sentence together with me. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Okay. You know, Jesus spoke many parables, and he spoke many parables without giving them the moral of the story. Sometimes he tells the parable and just leaves them there for them to figure it out. In this case, Jesus gave them the reason, the whole point. What's the morale behind, what's the objective behind his parable so that people can't get it wrong? And he said it very clearly in one sentence. He said, why was the parable given? That men should always pray and not lose heart. That's the point. Let's say together that God's people should always pray and not lose heart. One more time. This is really important point, especially for the end time generation. Okay? That men should always pray and not lose heart. Amen. This is so important. So Jesus is talking about the end time. Chapter 17, he says, when the Son of Man comes in, it's going to be like a Noah's time. It's like going to be like a Lot's time. And he's saying, he's warning people. A lot of people will be caught up in things like buying and marrying and building, selling and planting and all the good things that we are doing. But we are so busy. And suddenly, the flood came just like that. Many will be caught unaware. Many will miss out. Many will get hurt. Many will not be in the right spiritual tune. And then he gives this parable and saying, look, you, especially the last generation, my elect, my people, should sometimes pray and give up. He's saying, the story is, you last generation, generation of people, young and not so young, and mature, we should always pray and not lose heart, not lose heart, not lose heart, because it is easy to lose heart. It's easy to lose heart when it seems at times that God is not answering my prayer. It seems like our prayer does nothing. It seems like we are wasting our time. It seems like I am burning my nerve energy, talking to a wall, to an air, and you are not even sure whether God heard you. I know some of us have prayed for our loved, you know, family and members and loved ones and certain things for some time, and then you don't pray anymore. Why? Because we get hurt. Delay. We lose heart. Saying, well, I prayed, I really prayed for 2 months. And it looks like the answer is that the other person that is, it's gone the back way. When I pray, worse things happen. It goes back. When I don't pray, at least it's neutral. When I pray, Lord, let this, you know, let my son come to you. And when I start in praying, they really go worse. Their life is falling apart. I go, I better stop praying. Otherwise, I do more damage. We're praying, Lord, deliver me from this evil boss who's been persecuting me for the last 3 months. And when you start in praying, another guy joins the boss and persecute you. So I better stop praying. And then I do less damage. I can survive. As soon as I pray, I get my hopes up, and I don't want my hope shattered. So I learn different kind of Christianity. Don't pray, just wise. Be wise and just flow. Go with the flow. And just work out where will be the least, which path is the least resistance. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You know, when you pray, and as soon as you serious pray, opposite things happen. It's an indication. What is the indication of? You're most probably dealing with demons behind. There's something that's pushing you back. You know, when you go to the gym and you punch the back, it goes back, and then you call kickback mechanism. It comes back and then hit you in the face. If there's nothing, nothing will hit you back. If there's something, a person without body who can disguise himself as not there, and when your prayer is punching them on the face, what is he gonna do? Is he gonna just sit there and take it? No. They've been there for thousands of years. They study your mood. They study your weakness. They study what gets you down. What discourages you. They just know, you know, there's some things because they've been watching you. And what makes you give up? What makes your heart sick? What makes you feel so small, so unimportant, so uninfluential? What makes you feel like a loser, like, you know, big L? What? Just maybe you get that person to say something like that, and then you just shatter. See, we are dealing with enemy, dealing with adversary. The lady here, this widow, is saying there is an adversary. Adversary has taken away my justice. It's the same word that Peter says, watch out, be sober, Christians, because your adversary, the devil, walking around, prowling around, looking for someone to devour. Amen? So we got natural eyes, but this natural people are not our enemies. Natural events are not random, even though we've been taught they are random. You have and I have adversary of our soul who is not seen. They are studying you. They've been following you to discourage you so that your life will be ineffective and you will give up. You will lose heart. You will be discouraged. That's what it means, lose heart. You pray for something. You pray for something great. Maybe God's given you a promise. And you start praying, and then somebody does something to you the next 3 days. Some phone call or something fall apart, and you can't pray anymore. So you're dealing with invisible enemy. So Jesus is giving a parable here. Look, there was two main characters here, a judge. Judge is very powerful, very rich, and very honored. Very influential, but this judge is very godless. He says, I do not fear God, nor regard man. There is, he's a man of no principle, judge, in charge of great deal of power. Everybody looks up, but he doesn't care. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't care for people. He's in it for his himself. And a widow. Widow is exactly the opposite. Now widows, okay. Back in those days, widows were very low in social standing. Bottom of the rung with no man to stand up and protect her, usually poor. And when people do things, rip off poor, you know, widows might, you know, the worst of the worst kind of people. But there are these kind of rubbish kind of people, I'm sorry to say that, who will, you know, rip off the weakest who can't fight back. There are people like that on earth. And they were doing this, whoever it was. And she's weak. She's lowly regarded. She's the bottom of the rung. She doesn't have a voice. When she speaks something, nobody listens. She doesn't have money. She's not honored. She's despised. And because it's so easy to rip off widow, even though it's only a little bit, you can get away with it because she can't fight back. And she's ripped off. There's nothing going for her. It's so easy. And she's been ripped off. Whatever it is, it's paining her. Perhaps it's to do with her family. Perhaps it's to do with her children. Perhaps it's to do with her little inheritance. I don't know. But something that was, there is a justice and there is injustice. She's got nothing going for her. There's only one thing good that she has, and that's she is persistent. That's the only thing she has. She's the exactly, if you feel like you got nothing going for you, naturally speaking, you don't have money, you don't have great deal of education, you don't have great people, you know, really respecting you, you don't have a great, you know, a circle of people who stands behind you, you feel like nobody's respecting you or honoring you, and you don't really have a great future ahead because you're not coming from money, family, you're not coming from all the right connections, you don't have any connection in the world, you're kind of alone, then you're kind of this widow. You feel weak. You feel powerless. You feel unable. You've been wronged, unable. Unable, no power to make it right. Then you fall in this category, and this widow had nothing going for her. Only thing she has is that she's persistent. So she comes to this judge and says, give me my justice. And what does judge do? What did you say? Give me my justice. All right, well I'm busy. I've got to go and, you know, have this important meeting. You come back and line up tomorrow and maybe I can see you. And he just walks off. Would it discourage you if you were in that situation? This judge is useless and no one cares for me. The world, you know, the whole world, bad, bad. I give up. And turn your back on the world, turn your back on everything and sulk. She turns up the next morning. And then judge says, she's there. Oh, yeah, that's all right. I'll just, you know, you just ignore her. I go for my lunch, my tea, because I don't fear God. I don't care for people. Why should I do a lot of work to bring her justice, to bring all this justice. It's a hard work. And what can she pay? She can't pay anything. So he just pushes. But the next day, she's there on the line at the back of the queue. Next day, she is at the front of the queue, and you know, it bothers you. It bothers him. Even though he doesn't fear God, it still bothers him. She's still there. I have to run off. Oops, you know. I have to make excuse. I have to go. And then finally, he says, you know what, all this energy I'm spending, if I just face it, it will be much better. You know, after all, I can do this work. At least I can feel good about myself and do something. Otherwise, she will weary me out. She will wear me out. And I begin to hate my job. The first thing, I get up in the morning, I think about her, and I'll probably see her again. You know, I hate myself. I hate this. I better take care of this. And Jesus says, hey, listen to what this unjust judge said. This is bad guy. And he says, you're making my life miserable. You're pricking my conscience. You're sapping my energy. I'm going to do it. And he does it. This is how justice system in the world is working. And in many cases, in a big or smaller cases, it's true. This is how things work. If you're loud enough, you get your way. If you have the right button to press, you get in your way. If you have the money, you get in the way. Or if you have people to speak for you, you get in the way. If you're on your own, hey, who cares? Nobody cares for you. Jesus says, but if you're persistent, you get some result. In this world, in this evil system of justice. And he's saying, usually, parable is that Jesus draws parallel. This is like that. In the earth, so in the heaven, it's also like that. That's what he's saying, right? That's what his most of parables is. This is like this. You sow the seed, you reap a lot. So the kingdom of heaven is the same. This one is unique. This is not the parallel. This is the opposite. He's saying the earth is like that, and it still works. Heaven is the very opposite of that. So it really work. What Jesus is saying is, folks, friends, when you really feel weak and powerless to change things, you are not weak. You are not weak. You are powerful. And it's the deception of the enemy to make you think you are weak. Your prayers achieve nothing. But it doesn't. It changes things. So don't forget, whatever situation you are in life, whatever the challenge, whatever the lack, when you lack something, when you're weak, when you don't have, when you feel, you know, you don't have a fair chance in life, no fair chance in life because of your upbringing, because you don't have this, you don't have that, you look like this, or you are too tall, or whatever it is. When you feel you are weak, so you don't have fair chance in life, you're actually very, very strong. You're in the right place. Because when you're weak, when you can't pull any strings, you begin to simply focus all your energy to invisible God in prayer. That kind of prayer brings results. Because your real enemy of your soul, adversary, who is out there to destroy people, the devil doesn't play fair, does he? He is invisible enemy. And you begin to deal with invisible spiritual world, spiritual realm. When we finish with all our excuses, when you're done with all our excuses, why I'm this way, when I'm done with all the finger pointings, because of that person, I'm like this. Because of that, I'm trapped. Because of this, I am ruined. Because of this, I cannot reach my full potential. Because of this status, so long as we point finger outside and push responsibility outside, we will always remain there. Because why? Because you have invisible adversary who delight to see you fail. And it's nobody's fault. You have invisible enemy who is behind visible people. You have invisible enemy who is putting thoughts into your mind about others, about the situations, about the future. Invisible enemy who whisper into your ear, your future is bleak, bleak, dark. Your best is behind you, your past. Your future is slow decline from this point. That's the voice of the enemy. Voice of the enemy. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Your prayer, start with prayer, because your prayer is very, very powerful. It's persistent prayer. See here, Jesus is redefining people who have faith and people who don't have faith. Here, Jesus is saying, people with faith is not like, I believe, with 110%. People of faith is people who are persistently praying. It's an act of faith. If you don't faith, if you lost heart, you don't believe anymore, would you pray? Don't pray. Not because you're bad, you're a bad Christian or you're lazy Christian. It's because we're discouraged. You don't think our prayer will achieve anything, so we give up. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Your prayer moves the mountain. And end time situation, this is so important. He's saying that when Jesus is returning, nations, he talks about the shakings, nations. See, the scroll will open. And nation will position themselves in such a way, many, many shakings and the level of curse that will run across the face of the globe will be tremendous. Some of it may result in physical shakings. Some of it will be chaos in governmental order and so on. But he's saying, in the midst of that, will I have my elect, he says, not just the widow, my elect, God says. God the Father, Heavenly Father, will he have enough elect who is crying out from earth day and night for justice? What is justice? Divine justice is not retribution. Divine justice is making wrong things right. What the devil has inflicted on you, stolen from you, devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. What devil made you to believe in a lie that God doesn't care and God is indifferent? People who will rise up and begin to fight. Fighting, nobody likes conflict. Fighting is part of Christian life for what the Father has. Believing our Heavenly Father, good Father, has a different plan. And those people who begin to cry out, like what we've seen across the earth just past week, when we begin to pray, whole atmosphere shifts. Direction of the nations shifts. Now, certain things will happen. We can't pray, don't let Antichrist rise. No, he will rise. God said he will rise. But in the midst of the end time events, God says, will happen. Israel will go through great trouble. In the midst of that, what will happen to Australia? See? We decide. Amen? You and me, we decide. You and me, we decide. What will happen to America? We decide. What kind of great display of God's glory and power? How much of the manifest presence of God and the protection of God, miracles that will manifest on earth for people to see the glory of the Lord, we decide. And that's higher. That's better. So we have a bright future. We have fantastic future. Let's I come into this room, okay? You come into the room and you turn all the lights off. It's dark. Ooh, really dark. And you bring a box. Inside box, there is a light. And you look around, you can't see a thing, it's so dark, so depressing. You open the box. What happened? Does darkness go in? No. Light goes out. Do we have the salt and light on earth? Do we have praying people on earth? Or not? Or if, say, whole region of Sydney, Christians are all depressed, all, you know, without praying, we're all defeated, it will be a very different proposition for the people of Sydney, what kind of Sydney they will be living in. When we pray, when we believe, we fight, we believe God for the best, we pull down the glory of God, these people will have place to go. Amen? They will know there is God in heaven. When the glory of God rests on you, they are sick, and then you go and you, in the name of Jesus, and miracle take place. You go, wow, there is hope. You tell them, Jesus loves you. When they are depressed, you just say a few things, somehow, some words have power and it just lifts them up. Pull them out of depression. And they go, wow, what was that? I mean, you know, the nurse told me the same thing, but when this guy, who seemed to be lighted up everywhere, come and tells me, somehow it's different, I can believe. What is it? It's the presence of God on you. Amen. The glory of God rise upon us and we'll do great things. Finally, I want to say this. This widow was not in, you know, praying for judge, please bring justice to our nation or the suffering sick. She was just saying, I've been wronged, I want justice. And Jesus said, this is good. This is faith. She said, I want justice for my children. I want justice for my life. Jesus said, this is faith. So we pray for our nation, nations of the world, poor and the weak and oppressed and all that. There are also battles that we face that enemy has robbed from you, from your loved ones, from your family, from your children, from your brothers and sisters, whoever you care about. And you don't just take it and go, you know, whatever, Sarah, Sarah, the song, whatever shall be, let it be. But you're saying, no, I'm not going to just take it. I am going to stand up and fight. I'm going to pray. God says, that's faith. That's good. I can work with that. I can use that. This year is year 5777. And you might have heard that in Hebrew calendar 5777, in Gregorian calendar 2017. And you know, every Hebrew letter and the numbers, they match. So they come up with every year, it actually, you know, projects certain characters in Hebrew. And every character in Hebrew has also meaning. So they're saying this is a year of the sword. Okay, so you can talk to the rabbi, Hebrew scholars, they will tell you, year of the sword. And my prayer is that there may be, and there are, I'm sure, some things that the locust has been eating away in your life, things that devil has, or enemy of your soul, adversary has been eating away. This is a year, I pray, in the light of great encouragement we had this week, in the worldwide hand of God moving, that we will begin to rise and take up our sword and begin to challenge these things. Things that have been working in our life for years, eating away, sapping life, limiting your potential and calling in God. You begin to stand up and begin to take the sword and cut them out. Let's declare war. And let's not be happy with just being taken and oppressed. If you wake up in the morning with sense of oppression, it's time to rejoice. This year is a year of clash. And we're going to come out strong. Amen. We're going to have some medal, you know, some victory medals at the end of the year. You know, some stripes on our shoulder. We've gone through some battle that we put off for some years. It's come up to our head. We're going to fight. We're going to fight rejoicing. We're going to fight and then come up full of glory, full of joy. Whoever has taken away your joy, we don't have to let it be taken away. Bible says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to God. This is the express will of God towards all of us in Christ Jesus. Amen. This year, I pray that the sword of the Lord will enter and cut through the enemy. Begin to cut away excess baggages and works of the devil. And cut in to our flesh. Again, excessive weights, habits, things that you do not like. We cut them out from our flesh. And let the sword of the Spirit cut right into our spirit, bringing light, new understanding, revelation, joy, new beginning this year for all of us. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? I want us to rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there any song of rejoicing? Hallelujah. Year of victory, year of turnaround for you. When you stand up, you know, how many remember Mike Van Blyman? He was here last year. And then I'll just remind you of this, his experience that he was praying for his son who was away from the Lord for quite some time. And he was away and he was began to pray. This is a man of prayer, began to pray. But, you know, when you pray for your loved one, very often we feel powerless because when we pray, they react opposite straight away. And when we pray, we don't feel we have power to change people's heart, and we don't have power to change other people's heart, except that we have power to change and touch God, and God touches everybody. He began to pray, and then while he was praying, his spirit, the Lord took his spirit out, and his son was in a different city, and his spirit entered into that room, and there was a lot of young people there. They were just drinking too much, and you know, some wrong things were happening there, and he saw. And in there, he saw another being. And this is not one of those kids. This is the demon, evil spirit. And he was riling up young people to do all these things, wrong things. So Mike went and said, in the name of Jesus, I want you to leave. And he didn't care. He didn't seem affected. He just did this. He said, again, in the name of Jesus. He kept rebuking, and then he just walked across the room, stood in another position, as if Mike Van Vlieman wasn't even there. Just brush it off. He didn't give up. He went around, confronted him again, and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Eventually, he left, disappeared. And what he learned afterwards, that it was the deception of the enemy, is that he doesn't want to show you that he's affected by your prayer. He just pretends your prayer is powerless, but all the while, when you pray inside, there is earthquake and fear and trembling that is happening. But the enemy doesn't want to show you his weak side. So he just pretends he's fine. I think a lot of spiritual warfare is like that. We have power. Jesus' name have power. Amen. Amen. I pray that Spirit of God What is, you know, open our eyes and see what, where in your life is the enemy been chipping away and eating away. And especially, I believe I'm saying this by the word of the Lord, sapping your joy in Jesus. Because joy of the Lord is our strength. When he gets away our joy, we become weak, we feel weak. Our prayers, our life, our actions have no conviction when you lose joy. Enemy's been stealing your joy, but we're gonna rise. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit show you who these invisible enemies are, and we're gonna take up the sword this year. We're not gonna lose heart. This year, we're gonna push all the way, whatever area of struggle, and we're gonna take some victories. Amen. 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 What song do we have?